Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
So we're continuing our series on Advent today, and we are talking about peace and joy today. So two parts of the Advent we're discussing today. And like I said last week, Advent, that term, that word, it means the coming or the arrival. It has to do with anticipation, right? And so first, anticipating the first coming of Christ, and then the second coming of Christ, right? We're looking forward to Christ's future return, and that's something that that we should be anticipating. We should be excited about it, that he is coming back to rule and to reign, and he will establish his eternal kingdom, and that's exciting. We get to be a part of that. That's something we get to look forward to. I used to kind of be a little intimidated by stuff like that because I don't understand it fully. But what I do know is that God is really, really good. And as beautiful as the earth is now, even with all of our brokenness, imagine how beautiful it will be with no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. So it's going to be good. It's going to be very good, and it's worth being excited about. I want you to think for a minute about what peace and joy really looks like. You know, what you think of when you think of a peaceful person, and you think, oh, that person, they've got a lot of peace on their life. Or what about a person that's got a lot of joy? Who do you know that you just see them and you go, that looks like joy? They're joyful. Do you think that when people look at you, they see peace? Or do you think when people look at you, do they see joy? I think that they should, because you've got Jesus inside of you. You've got God's Holy Spirit. And so I think that peace and joy are two things that should be flowing out of our lives that we want to embrace and allow to flow through us. But I'm going to start today with the end. Okay, and I never do that, but I'm going to start today with the end, and then I'll go back to the end at the end, okay? I'm going to challenge you at the end of our time together today to first identify one area in your life where you need God's peace. Okay? So at the end of our time together, I'm going to ask you, identify one area in your life where you need God's peace. And then I'm going to challenge you to share the joy of Advent with someone else this week. The joy of Christ's arrival. Okay? So that's the two challenges at the end of our time together today. All right? So we're reflecting on the coming of Jesus, and I wanted to go to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to highlight a very famous verse, but I kind of want to read a few more of the verses because they don't get a lot of love usually at Christmas time. But there's the book of Isaiah has a lot of great truth, a lot of great words. So we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. And it says, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. This verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, he will be called Prince of Peace. That's like one of the most quoted scriptures at Christmas time. My mom had me memorize this when I was 4. Okay, this was an important one. We had to know it. But what I find very interesting is the few verses that come right before it. Doesn't sound very peaceful. Doesn't sound very easy. It says that there was like some anguish, and there was an oppressor, and it was tumultuous. There was some struggle happening, and then what shows up? It's good news, right? Great joy for everybody. Good news. He says, I'm going to take responsibility for you. That's what I hear when I read, the government will be upon his shoulder. I feel like he's going to take authority. He's going to take responsibility. And he will bring peace. Right? And we know now better than ever before that governments, they promise peace, but they do not bring ultimately peace. Maybe for a season, it's true, but there's these patterns of human government that don't end very well. And what we see with Jesus is actual peace. He shows up. It says he's going to reign. He's going to be just and righteous. Two things that our world is very hungry for. We talk a lot about justice. We talk a lot about what's right. And I think that probably actually the church focuses on the righteousness and the world focuses on the justice. And probably we need to focus on both, right? Because it looks like God cares about both. But I just think about this promise of peace and that word shalom, peace. It's not the absence of conflict, but it's like this wholeness, this completeness that comes from God. When he says, I will bring you peace, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled. When he says that, he says, I am not just going to make you calm, cool, and collected. I'm not just going to make you quiet. I am going to make you whole. Whole. This is how God designed us to be. Whole. And so I can tell you this. A lot of times when I'm looking for peace, I just equate it with quiet. Anybody else with that? Especially when I had toddlers. I was like, I just want some peace and quiet. So if everyone was quiet, I felt at peace. Because there was a lot of noise in our house all the time. Noise, noise, noise. And I'm very introverted. I don't know if you guys have noticed this about me, but I'm a very introverted person. Maybe I'm a little extroverted, but mostly introverted. And I like a lot of quiet thought time with my mind. Like I used to love when I had a commute to go to teach English when I was living in Southern California. My 20-minute commute with traffic was often an hour. And I, each way, and I actually kind of enjoyed it because it was time for me just to listen to worship music, time for me to pray, time for me to think, and I actually looked forward to it. So to me, traffic is not a problem if there's quiet, right? I like that actually. But there's another level of peace that God offers us. And I don't know if everybody that decides to follow Jesus really understands what that is. So that's why we're talking about it today. It's not just getting quiet. It's not everything in your life being perfect. You know, because like I said, we had quite a week this last week with that whole tsunami warning. And there were other things that made life very exciting. But would I call it a bunch of, you know, the absence of what would be like a dramatic week? Does that mean that you're at peace? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. What about if your finances are in order? Then do you feel at peace? I mean, sure, it helps a little bit, but that's not wholeness. That's not what God designed us for. So peace with God, what does that really look like? I know that Jesus's peace, it reconciles us to God. It's that connection that we have with him. When your soul is fully surrendered to your creator and you're in constant communication with him and you know how loved you are by God, I think that makes a big difference. I think that's where you start to feel peace because, like I said, your house is still going to be noisy sometimes if you have little children. And your finances, I mean, they can go up and down very easily. I mean, especially if you play the stock market, you know. I know there's a lot of people that have these apps with crypto or, I don't know, all these different things. And they're watching their wealth go up and down and up and down. And I mean, if your peace is reliant on that, my goodness, that's stressful, right? So 1 minute you're at peace, 1 minute you're not. That's not peace. Peace is wholeness. Peace is I feel complete. Peace is it doesn't matter what's going on around me, you know, because life is up and down, you know, like politics robbed some people of their peace over the past few months, like majorly robbed them of their peace. I know people have no control over any of that, that said it stressed them out like crazy. Peace cannot be dependent on outward stuff. It has to be an inside job. So it's about us being reconciled with God. Okay. So here's what scripture says, that he guards our hearts and our minds, right? And I think that's what kind of causes us to be able to enter into peace. All right. So what can we do to live in that peace? Okay. I would say we got to keep on surrendering our worries to God, because there will be things that come up throughout your day, throughout your week, that will try to rob you of your peace. So you have to like say out loud, I give that to you, God. Or whisper it, or say it in your mind, but I like to say it out loud. I give you that worry because it is stressing me out right now. And I don't want to live a life that's not at peace, okay? Embrace God's promises. What does God say about you? He says you are loved, you are chosen, you are forgiven. He says that his grace is sufficient for you. He says that he's your provider, he's your sustainer, he's your protector. So we have to remind ourselves of these things. When we do that, we get to live in the wholeness of God's peace. We get to kind of relax and let God be God. Isn't that a good place to be? That's what I want. And so when Jesus arrives on the scene, he's our savior, which is really cool, but he's also the Prince of Peace. He it's not just quiet, calm. It's not just clean. Oh, that's another one I associate with peace. Clean. You know, because clutter to me is not peaceful. Okay. Stuff all over my kitchen countertop. That's not peaceful. I'm like, get it off. But there's another level of peace that we get to enter into when Jesus shows up, right? He arrives on the scene and he says, I will bring you peace. So everywhere that you invite Jesus in, every situation that you invite Jesus into, you get to live in peace there. That is where peace dwells. All right, so we get to invite him in. I want to encourage you, invite him in. And then there's another thing that we wanted to talk about today. That wasn't just peace, but joy. I think that joy flows when we have peace, right? Joy is a lot easier to get to when we have peace. But in Luke 2, 10 to 11, it says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, a Savior has been born to you. I like this in theory. A lot of Christians will say happiness is like worldly, temporary, and joy is something that's lasting that comes from God. You know, I think that's kind of cool. I mean, I would say I'm happy and joyful. To me, it's kind of all the same. I'm just happy and joyful and glad to be alive. Glad. That's another one. But the idea of joy is something that's deeper, you know, and that happiness is a little bit more dependent on our mood at the moment, you know, how happy I feel. But joy is something from deep within. Again, an inside job that only God can do. And I don't know, what does that look like when we have a situation that's not joyful in our lives? I was thinking about that because what about if you love Jesus, but you're experiencing extreme grief, depression, anxiety, right? All of these things. That's where I think that the peace of God comes in, because then God's peace ministers to the anxious, grieving soul, and then he restores our joy. I think that there's a lot of scripture in the Psalms where David, a very joyful worshiper of God, also went through periods of lament and sorrow and discouragement, and he says, where are you, God, and what is going on? And I am in anguish, and my soul is downtrodden. And he really sounds very depressed. And I mean, he has people after him trying to kill him. I mean, he has every reason to be stressed. You think that it's bad with your coworkers. Imagine if they're literally coming after you with a whole team of people trying to physically kill you at any given moment. I mean, that's stressful. He has a reason to be anxious. But scripture, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. So I'm going to say that joy should always be the goal. And where we are struggling to find joy in God's presence or in our circumstance or a situation, right? Where you're like, I don't feel like I got my joy. I don't feel very joyful. That's okay. I don't think God's offended by that when we admit that. But I think that's where we have to reach out to him and say, my heart is troubled. I need your peace. God, would you show up in my life? And would you say, Lord, I need you, Jesus, to be my Prince of Peace, because my situation is leaving me not peaceful right now. Or even I remember in grief when I've lost parents, I remember saying, God, I need your grace to be enough for me because I don't see how it can be. But you speak it out to him. The worst thing you can do is isolate yourself and not speak out loud to your Heavenly Father what's going on with you. He wants to hear about it, even if it's something that is not good. That's a spoiler alert for you. Like, God's okay with hearing that something is stressing you out or has you discouraged or hurt. He's okay with hearing it. He wants to hear what's on your heart. If you're a parent, then you know, even though it's hard to hear your kids hurting, it's way better to know that they can trust you to tell you what is going on inside of them. The hurt, the pain, the loss, whatever the thing is. I want my girls to know that they can tell me anything. I will always be a phone call away, arms open, ready to hug them. I want to hear from them. And I don't think that God's just saying, now quick, be joyful, be peaceful, like hurry up. He's patient with us. If anything that we could see through scripture, God plays the long game. He is not, you know, just out for quick fixes, for things to look good on the outside. He's concerned with what's going on the inside of us. He's concerned with our heart. He is patient with us. He's patient with you. I'm glad that he's patient with me. I really appreciate it. That's a really good thing. And so when we're thinking Christmas season, you know, for some people it's easy. Get in the Christmas spirit. I feel peace. The twinkling lights, the presents under the tree. I feel joy. You know, my kids with their hot chocolate or singing Christmas carols. I feel joy. Not every year is like that for everyone, though. That's the truth of it. But yet, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he came to bring great joy for all the people, everybody. It's good news for everybody. And I would say it's especially good news when we're willing to surrender to him and we're willing to give him the things that are on our hearts, the things that weigh us down. He wants to take that on for us. And so I want to encourage you today. What are you, you know, carrying around that God does not want you to carry around anymore? Just let's leave it here. And when we leave it here, it's like we're leaving it at the feet of Jesus. All right, we're going to leave it there because he came to earth a couple thousand years ago to show up for us to bring us peace and joy so that we can live lives like that. And so where we are lacking it, that's where we go to him. And we say, I know that you're the giver of peace, because how easy is it to go to anything and everything but God for our peace and joy? That's where we end up with the temporary happiness or the temporary peace. But God's is lasting. It is whole. It is complete. It's not one-dimensional. And everything that the world offers us, those quick fixes, are very one-dimensional, one-sided. They miss the whole other part of who we are as a person. It might minister to our body, but not to our spirit and our soul. It might get to our soul, but not our body and our spirit, you know? And so what God does is he shows up for the whole of us. He cares about every part of you. So I want to ask you that question that I asked you at the beginning of today. What is one area in your life where you need God's peace to show up for you? So think about that. Lord, where do I need your peace? And then the second thing is, I think you've got a little bit of joy inside of you. You know that Jesus is the source of your joy. So I want you maybe to be brave enough to ask God, would you give me somebody this week that I can share the joy of your arrival, of what you came to bring us here on earth? Here's the thing. If you ask God to show you somebody to share his joy with, his promise of peace, he will give you somebody. Okay? So be ready for that. That's the only thing I would say about that. You might get multiple people. But I want to invite you right now just to close your eyes. And we're just going to ask God to speak to us, to show us. And Lord, I know that in a room this size, there's a lot of different things going on. And some of them are really good and some of them are really hard. And Lord, I thank you that you walk with us through all of the things, that you show up for us. Lord, I thank you that you showed up for us over 2,000 years ago, and that you continue to show up for us. And I thank you, Lord, that we get to look forward with great expectation, anticipation for your second coming, Jesus. You are the giver of peace. You are the one who is our joy. And Lord, I pray that you would show us right now, Lord, that you would just show us, God, where we've been lacking peace. What is the one area of our life, God, where we need your peace right now? Maybe it's a lot of things. But Lord, I just pray that we'd be able to focus on one thing right now, and that one thing would be something that we continually surrender to you each day of this week, that we would speak it out loud and say, Lord, I give this to you. I ask for your peace. Would you show up and bring your wholeness to this situation? Would you bring your wholeness to me as I walk through this situation, as I'm having to deal with this thing? Because, Lord, I know that you are bigger, you are greater, you are stronger. And, Lord, I pray that we would have the courage to speak the good news of great joy for all the people, and that this week we would have the courage to tell one person about the promise of joy that you bring. Maybe we can tell them how you've brought us joy or how you want to bring them joy. But Lord, I just pray that we would have that courage, that we would not miss that moment. Lord, I know that you're going to give us a moment this week sometime with somebody. Might be somebody we know, might be somebody we don't know. But Lord, I pray that when we have that moment, we would recognize it. We'd say, thank you, God, for giving me the courage and the words to say. And it doesn't have to be complicated, but it's going to be your word of hope, Lord, your words of peace and joy. I thank you, Lord, that we get to be in this Christmas season where we get to kind of realign our focus on you and on your power and on your plan for us, that you cared so much about us, God, that you sent your one and only Son to earth for us. Like, that's incredible. And Lord, I pray that we do not miss that we do not take that for granted, Lord. I pray, God, that each and every person in this room right now would know just how great your love is for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.